Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Alex. I went from being a cop to an eight-figure entrepreneur that helps average people like you and me make money every single day. I created this podcast to help you get motivated and to crush your goals. Let's win together. Remember, I have your six. Get ready to level up right now. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Level Up Podcast with Paul Alex. Guys, we have a special guest today. Look, guys, I always talk about OPM, other people's money, okay? When people hear that, they're like, Paul, what are you doing? Are you scamming? Are you going ahead and getting loans from somebody shady? No. Here in business, guys, the key to life in the game is to know how to work the life in the game, okay? So in business, you always want to leverage your money, okay? And I'm going to be talking to a special guest on our podcast today that actually helps entrepreneurs go and actually build their own banking system. And that sounds pretty cool, right? So I want to introduce you to my friend Sergio. Sergio, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, Paul. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, brother. I'm excited to be in Miami. It's been a while since I've been here. And yeah, I'm jacked, man. I'm jacked to share as much as I can with people and just add as much value as I can, brother.
No, absolutely, brother. So let's dive into it, man. What were you doing before you got into entrepreneurship?
Well, so I've always been into entrepreneurship. It started back in elementary school, you know, selling pencils in elementary school, candy, whatever we could. So it was kind of, so background, I'm originally from Colombia, South America, immigrant family, just like yourself. Yep. My family came to the States for the American dream, right? So a lot of people can relate. And the hustle was always within my family, my mom, my dad, always watching them. Yep. So I've always been an entrepreneur from even a little kid. But I guess if you're asking kind of what I was doing before, like, really jumping and diving into like what I consider entrepreneurship now. Yeah. I was a student. I was an athlete. I played Division I soccer and, you know, in the marketing space. I was kind of in the marketing space. And we can go down that route because it's a fun story of how I got into the marketing world, which is really a lot of what we're talking about now.
No, absolutely, so, man. So I love that. Division I soccer player. Yeah. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hard sport. I think it's one of the hardest sports out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's why it's worldwide.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like what Pitbull always says.
Yes,
Mr. Worldwide. But no, so you were a Division I soccer player. Let me ask you, why didn't you stick with that instead of entrepreneurship?
That's a great question. You know what? I think there's a lesson in this for sure. I got to a point in my career that I had to be honest with myself and say, am I willing to put in the work that is necessary to produce the result that I ultimately want?
Yes.
And when I looked at myself in the mirror, I gave it one last shot, and ultimately it came down to this. I looked at my competition and the guys that I was competing against.
Yeah.
And some of them I would just say had more raw talent. You know, I was good, I was fast, I was always the fastest, whatever. There's a lot of things that I had, but when it came down to like the raw talent and understanding the game, it just came so much more natural to these higher elite players. Mm-hmm. I had to work so much harder at it. So I was asking myself, am I willing to put in 10x the time of work that they're going to put in just to get on the field? Mm. Or do I redirect my attention somewhere else that will still help me create the life that I want and impact the people that I want? So it was just a conscious decision.
Dude, that's good. And, you know, that's actually very mature. How old were you when you were, like, making those decisions?
I was 20, probably 21 years old. Yeah, 21, 22. I almost graduated.
Oh,
and so I got injured, just like everybody's story. You know, a lot of former athletes get injured and then they have to try to come back. Yeah. And I tried to do that, but then eventually, you know, I went to a tryout for a team in Charlotte. Yep. Made it to the last 11 that they were going to pick from. And unfortunately, I didn't get chosen out of those last 11. That was my last go at it.
So age 21, you start looking at your competition, you try out, you don't get picked, you get injured. Did you invest a whole lot of time into learning that skill? Because D1 is no joke, bro.
Yeah.
That's like pro.
Yeah.
Damn near. But like, how much time did you devote to soccer?
Dude, hours and hours and hours. I remember, so you got, this is a big name that people want to know, Clint Dempsey.
Yep.
Obviously, U.S. National team, played in Europe. So Clint was, I was going to say, probably 2 years older than me. He played at Furman University.
Yep.
I grew up 5 minutes from Furman University. And so I remember I would go out to train by myself in high school at Furman on the field.
Right.
And there's Clint training as well because he's playing at Furman at this time. And so we're talking hours and hours and hours. There was a lake, a 2-hour loop around that lake that I would run over and over and over before I went to my college career. Because there was one thing I was like, hey, when I get to preseason, I'm going to be at least the fastest. And I was. But what I didn't realize, once again, once you get to the next level, there's just players that have, whether it's God-given ability or they just maybe they worked harder in that asset or that part of the game. But, yeah, so that's kind of how it started.
No, I got you, man.
But put a lot of work in, man. Hours and hours and hours. My entire childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So since you were a kid to the age of 21, you focused on soccer, was able to make it happen. But, dude, that's still such a great blessing to be able to play that and say that you did.
Yeah.
Because you know one thing that it shows? It shows that you were disciplined.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, out of everybody that I know you know that in entrepreneurship, you need discipline, bro. You need massive discipline, right? So, okay, cool. So, age of 21, you go there and you go and how are you basing your decisions off? Are you going off of like, okay, you were studying marketing. Mm-hmm. Do I want to go that route? Did you have a friend? Did you have a mentor that went ahead and was just like, hey, Sergio, this is what you need to do?
Yeah. So, I think my next step was, you know, a lot of times people might not have direct mentors, but you kind of fall into, whether it's chance or faith, or fate, you fall into a career path. And that's actually what happened to me. While I was in college, I fell into the marketing world, the experiential marketing world. Mm-hmm. So I didn't necessarily have a mentor, but I fell into this space that was kind of going to be like my next pivot point. Like, what do I do next with my life? You know, I'm outgoing. I like people. I want to do something that helps people and so on. And so I fell into the experiential marketing world. And a lot of people don't know what this world is, but it requires, it's basically these big events, Super Bowls, X Games, IndyCar races, all these massive events. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of sponsorships. People sponsor these events. Companies sponsor these events, right? Yep. And they put on experiential events for the guests that are attending these big massive events. So I fell into that space, and as I was graduating, I actually studied criminal justice. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking of going into law enforcement. Realistically, yeah, man, I was thinking.
What happened, dude?
Well, you know, this is what happened. This is part of the story. So I'm studying criminal justice, thinking of going. I'm going to hostage rescue.
Yeah.
HRT.
Yep.
HRT is what I'm planning on doing. Going the FBI route, and this is my career path.
So you want to do Fed?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to do Fed, but HRT, I wanted to jump out of helicopters. I wanted to do hostage rescue type stuff. Yep. I don't know if it just came from the movies, but anyways, regardless, that's what I wanted to do. Whether it was acting and doing it or doing it in real life, I just thought it was really cool. But that's what I was studying, that in psychology. And long story short, within that essence, I was like pursuing that, but I fell into the marketing world. And I was like, man, this is a really cool career. Not only can you make really good money doing it, but it's also fun. And so I pursued that during like my last 2 years of college.
Right.
Last 2 years of college, I pursued that and landed a job once I graduated, and the rest is history. I traveled for about 5 years doing experiential marketing for Fortune 500 companies all over the U.S., Verizon, Walgreens, these really big names, and I was kind of the face of the brand.
Yeah.
I was an MC within my role, sometimes a hype man. I'd be on stages hyping people up at these events and just kind of orchestrating the excitement around the event. So
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was a cool part of my story.
So how long were you doing that before you finally were like, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to try something different.
Yes, Greg, I love that question. So it didn't take long because it was still a job.
And then around what time was this?
Okay,
like what year?
The year. So years now. So now we're flashback to 20. Let me make sure I get the years right. Mm-hmm. Probably 2013. Yeah, 2013. I'm kind of almost hitting my peak. In the marketing world. I had been doing that for a couple of years now. It probably started around 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. And so 2013, 2014, really going into 2015, I was like, okay, this is fun. It's been an awesome career. I loved, got the chance to travel, made really good money doing these events, met a lot of connections. But I was like, it's still a job. This is my turning point. I'm emceeing a Super Bowl. Matter of fact, now that I think about it, it was the Super Bowl down here, dude, the last Super Bowl in Miami. I'm down here, and I am emceeing the event. We've got all these athletes that are coming in that I'm supposed to interview. One of them's running late because of traffic. And I had been going for 6 hours straight.
Yeah.
Emceeing, hyping people up, using my energy. I mean, thousands of people in this event, and I'm running. I'm carrying the energy.
It's a lot of work, dude.
It's a lot of work. I'm drained.
Yeah.
And so I'm literally, like, I'm literally like super hungry. Side story, I'm kind of hypoglycemic. So I was like, my sugar's already running low. And I look at kind of the event coordinator. I'm like, hey, I got to get some food. Like, I'm really hungry. And she looks at me. She's like, I'm sorry. Like, the athlete's running late. We don't know when he's going to come in. And if he comes in, we've got to interview him right away. And I was like, well, we've been waiting for an hour. I was supposed to go on lunch an hour ago. And like, I'm running low on energy. Like, anyways. And so she was like, you can't go. And I literally, in my mind, I was like, there's no way. Yeah. What do you mean I can't go? I don't care what career. I never wanted anybody to control me like that again.
Wow. So the epiphany was because someone told you that you couldn't go eat.
Yes.
And you were like, this is crazy.
Even in a career that I loved. And yeah. I loved it. And yeah. So I get the dynamic of like, hey, this is an athlete's coming in. But at this point, I'm like, hey, it's not my fault that this guy is running late. We can do it later. Maybe somebody could step in and do the portion of the interview there's nobody else there. I get it. But at the same time, it was just enough for me like, hey, this is probably the last straw.
Yeah.
I got to do something on my own.
And were you married at the time? Were you single? You were single
I was single, okay. But my now wife was actually working that event with us at the time.
Really?
I had brought her down and she was working the event with us. So she got a chance to see all this and I kind of got a chance to vent to her and explain like, hey, like I'm pivoting. Like I'm doing something completely different.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's amazing how things work out,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So your wife was able to see all that and then see you do the transition.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay, so from that moment, how did you decide to go ahead and pick your niche after that? Because a lot of people, on this podcast specifically, it's about self-help,
yep.
mindset, and I feel like you always have to know who you yep. are as a person. Yep. Like we were talking about core values,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Talking about family, talking yep. about your wife, talking about all that stuff.
Yep.
And you know, that's why I resonate so much with people like you yep. and all our guests. And that's why people listen to this podcast,
yeah.
because they're yeah. like, dude, like, you know.
You're just real. You're genuine, dude. Yeah.
Positivity, right? So how did you go ahead and actually think of the niche that you're in now, dude?
Well, you know, I think everything happens in stepping stones, yeah. right? And so I've always had a faith foundation. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's always been really important to align myself based on my values and my faith. And yeah. Ultimately, what's the true goal and outcome that I want to create? Mm-hmm. And kind of work backwards. I think you've said that before in some of your shows. And it was kind of that. I knew the lifestyle that I wanted to live.
Yeah.
I knew that one day I wanted to have full control of my time, full control of my money, I had the ability to do what I want, whenever I want, with my future wife and future kids. And I wanted to be present. I wanted to be a present dad,
yeah.
right? And so, and now thankfully I'm able to do that at a big capacity. And that's one of the things that even drove me as a single guy, dating guy, that was still something that in my mind, I knew I wanted to create. And so with that in my mind, I was like, okay, well, what's something that's going to allow me to do that? Well, entrepreneurship. So let me start my own video production company with me and my brother. That's the kind of our first venture. We did that. Let me dabble into the space of network marketing and grow a team in that space so that ultimately it can give me more freedom because it's a different type of income. It's more passive. But then you flash forward to now, how I ended up to where I'm at now.
Yeah.
It was ultimately... out of necessity and almost, I would say that it's almost like God, like, hey, here it is. I'm hitting you again with it.
That's how it always goes, dude.
Yeah.
I always say God is in everything that happens to us.
Yes.
It's like, I no longer, especially at the age of yep. 37, get yep. mad when yep. bad things happen.
Dude, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Because I'm such a big believer, dude, that things happen for a reason yep. and it might just lead you to the path that you need to go.
If you choose the positive route.
Correct.
Because it's still our choice.
You're absolutely right.
And this is where, like, man, I totally fell into that. And well, hopefully we'll get a chance. I'll share a little bit of that part of the story.
Yeah.
But, it came down to, like, what's going to create that life? So you said something that triggered it. It was like, I believe that God opens doors, but he doesn't keep them open all the time.
Right.
He'll open them, and he definitely won't push you through them. So you got to step through them. And what happens if you don't step through that door when he opens it for you, it might take a really long time for that door to be open.
There's
again.
Not that many opportunities in life, dude. And when the opportunity is knocking, you got to open that door. You actually got to kick that door open.
You got to be ready, right? And what's the quote? Maybe you know it, the one about luck. It's mm-hmm. like, there's no such thing as luck. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. I believe yeah. that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I love that. So that's kind of how it was. I read a book. I've always been in personal development. I'm a huge fan of Tony Robbins.
Oh, I love you Tony know? Robbins.
It's
actually, I got to introduce you to one of my newest employees.
Okay.
He just graduated from Penn State.
Okay.
Came to work with us literally a week after he graduated.
Okay.
Check this out. His parents work directly with Tony Robbins.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I love Tony. I don't know.
So you got a network with him, dude? Yeah. And he's just like, yeah, bro, whenever you guys want to go see Tony, let's go.
That's so cool. Because to me, I've got a similar story.
Yeah.
I think everybody has big turning points in their life.
Absolutely, 100%. And
potentially multiple. I've obviously got multiple. I'm 38 years old, so I've got multiple up to this point now. Mm-hmm. But one of my big early turning points has to do with an ex relationship.
Yep.
Similar to your story, yeah. I don't personally ever share that from the perspective of like, oh, what if. I share it from like, man, well, I'm so glad that happened because I learned so much and it made me the person I am today. I respect my wife now for how amazing she is. Similar to you,
yeah.
Back in 2020, 2007 mm-hmm. was kind of like the a relationship thing happened where it was the first time ever I had checked my identity. Mm-hmm. Like, am I actually worth what I believe I'm worth.
Mm.
Growing up in the South, not to get into other topics, but growing up in the South and, you know, being a little bit different than what people are used to seeing,
yep.
especially in the area where we grew up, I kind of just started questioning myself. Even though I was a good person, it was a good kid.
So you're saying being Latino?
Yes.
Being Latino in the Carolinas.
In the Carolinas.
It's a little different, man.
It's a little
different.
Let's
be honest. It ain't Cali.
It is, right?
It's not Miami.
And people always assumed I was from those areas. But, you know, I went through a short season after a breakup where I actually, for the first time ever, started questioning my self-worth and my identity.
Yeah.
And if I was worth. And I turned to Tony Robbins. And 2007 on, just a massive personal development journey that literally changed everything for me mindset-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously trickled into everything else that we have now. But I read a book from Tony Robbins, kind of a course. It was one of his first courses that he ever put out that's called The Slight Edge.
Yep.
I mean, I was a college kid at the time, paid $350 for it,
yep.
barely had the money to pay for it. And it just changed my mindset so much, and it kind of trajected, pushed everything to where it's at now.
Isn't that crazy how the littlest thing
yep.
can change your life?
Yep.
And here's the thing. Most people think life changes when you get an abundance of money.
Mm-hmm.
No, life changes when you actually believe in yourself.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't believe in themselves,
yep.
especially now.
Yes.
Especially with everything that's going on. Yep. Why? Social media, man.
Yep.
Oh, you know, dude. Social media is a double-edged sword.
Ooh, it totally is, dude.
Just had a previous guest.
Yep.
He's a bodybuilder, transitioned to a now doing online,
fitness coaching, yep.
but he's doing it with his wife,
okay.
which is awesome.
Awesome.
And you know, they are a faith-driven couple.
Awesome.
And, you know, he talks about that.
I think I might know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. His name's Carter Montgomery.
Okay.
Really good guy. And he works with, do you remember who? Oh, Garrett White.
Okay.
If you know Garrett
White. Yeah, I know
Garrett,
yeah.
Yeah, dude, he works directly with him.
Yeah.
So what he was saying was just like, you know, social media is a double-edged sword because you can use it for good.
Yep.
And you can use it for bad.
Yeah.
You know? So nowadays, what's happening is people
yep.
go ahead and look at their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And they go ahead and they're like, okay, they're keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes, dude.
And keeping up with the Joneses won't ever make you happy,
nope.
dude. I always tell people, stay in your own lane.
Yeah.
Focus on your own goals.
Yeah.
Quit comparing.
Yeah, dude.
Especially with social media, dude.
You're so spot on. And it's like I was thinking about it the other day. Either you use social media or it uses you. And
I love that.
And I'm right now I'm seeing it is abusing, not just using, it's abusing people
110%,
in their mindset.
Dude.
And I say this all yes. the time to people. It's like, look, we are in a battle for our mind,
mm-hmm.
whether we know it or not. And we
are
living in a generation that is literally paralyzed
100%.
By everything that they're seeing on social media.
Everything.
And even though we are marketers and we push marketing, you know what? It is a double-edged sword like you're talking about. I don't want to be on my phone all the time.
Correct.
I don't want to be marketing and filming and promoting all, but it's part of the process to create the lifestyle that we want. But there's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a balance or else you can go down that
path
and it spirals downward pretty quickly. So,
well, the other thing is, you know, you're saying, you know, we're marketers and being a marketer is great, but also it's based on what you are putting out there.
Yes.
And I think if you're putting a positive message,
yeah.
you're actually trying to help people.
Yeah.
You're actually trying to provide value.
Yes.
That's where your change lies, man. Yep. That's when the ripple effect comes into play. Yeah. That's when you're like, dude, this feels good, right? Yep. And I tell people, dude, I love doing this.
Yeah,
I love meeting entrepreneurs like you, making friends like you, leveling up my mindset, dude, because it's inspiring.
It is. It totally is.
It's so inspiring, right? And you get to see how people go ahead and the different strategies and the different ways they think. And it just makes you grow as a person, right?
You said it on a show not too long ago that I was listening to, and you're just such a genuine person, and I can relate in so many different ways because you were just like, for people watching any of these shows, hopefully, as you're watching, you're saying, you know what? If they can do it, I can too.
Yeah.
And the 100% answer is yes.
Absolutely.
Anybody can do whatever they choose to do as long as they're focused on it, right?
Yeah.
And I know for me, that's one of the biggest things is I was like, man, like Paul's just a real cool, genuine dude. I mean, he was a cop. Look at all the success he has now. Like, if he can do it, I can do it too.
Absolutely.
Right? And we can do it together.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely.
And
100%.
And so that's the goal. So, yeah, man, I'm excited. And obviously, you were asking earlier that question, and now to where I am now, it's a completely different phase of my life with two kiddos and a beautiful wife. We've gone through a lot, but I'm just grateful for the things that I've learned now that are kind of setting us up for what I would call our legacy years.
Yeah.
Because I'm 38 years old. People might not think, oh, what do you mean your legacy years? This is where it starts.
It does.
40 and up is my legacy years. Mm-hmm. So.
And the thing is, like for men, you know, we enter our prime in our 30s.
Yeah.
And for many men, they think they have to have it all solved.
Yeah.
They think that they have to have especially in social media.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you got people pushing, well, you got to be a millionaire by the time you're 21. Otherwise, what are you doing? It's just like, bro, I didn't even know what I wanted to do at 21. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You have back injuries. You're a Division I player. You were like, dude, I'm about to go, play the World Cup. And then all of a sudden, all that happens. Yep. And you're like, what do I do now?
Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Same thing with a couple of my guys. You know, Division I football player, Texas, a scholarship, things is going to go NFL. And then boom, back injury.
Stuff can change like that.
Stuff happens, man. And then you go ahead and you make the decision to either use it for bad or good, right? And that's what I tell people, man. It's definitely around who you are around.
Yep.
And I think self-development actually saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
Self-development saved my life.
I believe
it.
I've seen part of your story and I believe it.
Dude, it really did. And people don't understand this. They think like they see all the materialistic things. They see like the lifestyle I have. But, dude, I've gone through a lot of dark places to be where I'm at. But what fulfills me and what pushes me every single day, what leads me to fulfillment, number one is my wife.
Yeah.
She's my best friend, dude.
That's awesome.
She's my best friend. She's my rock. But second, it's my family.
Yeah.
You know, it's my family. It's my mother. You know, it's just being around them, experiencing them.
Yep.
Being able to go ahead and help them live life by design. 100%. For them, dude.
Yeah, dude.
For them. Like, to me, dude, like, to be honest, I love this. I love to work.
Yeah.
You know, and people ask, like, hey, dude, like, you know, there's balance. I was just like, okay, let me tell you this question. I was like, when's the last time you took a vacation? I was just like, well, you know, I took my wife to Paris.
I
took to my mom and her best friend. Here's the thing, though. When you are living life by design, and you're able to live a life where you feel like it's a vacation every day,
you don't have to vacate from it.
Dude, exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly. So it's just like, that's what I'm trying to go ahead and show other people. But then also, I'm trying to help other people get to that point in their life where they use probably what I've done as a stepping stone, right?
Dude, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. And I am like, I'm inspired by that because as I watch your story and watch what you were able to do for your family, your mom, and your siblings, right? And you've helped a lot of your immediate family. And for me and my brother, that's one of our biggest goals as brothers is to just like be the ones that change it for our generation. And it's just so inspiring because like who out there listening doesn't want to level up and be that one in their family that changes it generationally for their entire family?
Dude, bloodline breaker.
Yeah.
Bloodline breaker.
I'm inspired for that, man. I cannot wait. I hope that I can come back and look at this video and not just prove it to people, but just be an example of like, look, when I talked to Paul, I hadn't yet been able to retire my mom, my dad, and all my siblings and my immediate family. But a couple of years later, I did.
Yeah.
And this is the stepping stones that I took to create that.
Absolutely, man. And I really tell you, one person can change your entire life.
Yep.
And because I'm a big believer in network.
Yep.
I'm a big believer in energy.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in environment.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I actually moved, extracted myself away from where I'm so used to being and where I lived and the same people and the same mindset. And then when I moved, dude, that's when everything just 100x'd.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It wasn't even 10x, it was 100x.
It was 100, it was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane. When I tell people, you know, they already don't believe me about how I was a detective and all that. And I'm like, well, dude, you could just look me up on the records in California. It's very easy.
Right.
But on top of that, they're like, dude, there's no way you used to do all that crazy
stuff. 5 years, right?
7 years.
7 years. So still,
7 years in law enforcement, 5 years as a detective.
But the journey, I'm saying, the journey was.
Yeah. But like, no, dude, like, I'm telling you, like, it could go very fast.
Yep.
It could go very fast once you go all in.
Yeah.
Sergio, let's dive into, how did you get into Infinity Banking, dude? Like, okay, first off, because we have a lot of beginners that listen to this, dude. So you know me. Hey, we gotta break it down.
Okay.
Right? Because Infinity Banking can mean many things.
It can.
So let's break down what Infinity Banking is to you.
Okay.
Second, you know, I'm a storyteller, dude, so I love to hear stories. So how did you find out about it? How'd you learn about it? And then we'll take it from there.
Okay, let's start there, because this is a fun journey, and it talks about the concept in a realistic way.
Okay.
The concept is all about the ability to compound your money for generations. So think about the word compounding, right? So for me, the first time that I actually heard about a concept that is similar to infinite banking, like you said, infinite banking is the current term that people know it as now. Right? Before, it was a different term because it was packaged in a different way. This was a little bit before 2014. I came across an article that was actually talking about how people could use whole life insurance in some type of special way to purchase vehicles for the rest of their life.
Okay.
So I was like, and I was reading this article, and it was like, you know, old school article, all just email and numbers and stuff. But it was so intriguing to me because it was like, wait, a car is something that all of us are going to need. We're going to buy maybe every 3-5 years, not only us, but our family members as well. So we're going to invest a lot of money into cars.
Yeah.
And what the article was talking about, what if you could capture all that money within your own banking system and redirect the flow of the money? All these terms are like, oh, that sounds awesome. I want to say that was probably 2013. Went right over my head. Okay. Even though it sounded really cool, I dove in, no joke, probably about a day and a half, sent it to my brother. I'm like, oh, so this looks really cool. I tried to explain it to him. I butchered it, couldn't explain it. He was like, what are you talking about? I mean, it sounds okay, but you can't even explain it, whatever. And so it went over my head. Next year, flash forward 2014, Tony Robbins came out with a book, Money Master the Game.
Mm.
In chapter, let me see if I quote it perfectly, chapter 5.6, massive book. I mean, that book is huge. I don't know if you've read it, but it's a big book. I had to listen to it because I'm not a big reader, but I'm a good listener. And so I dove into the book, got to chapter 5.5, listening to all the money principles, got to chapter 5.5, boom, the door, God again, God opens the door again, and it just triggered, like, wait, that's that thing that article was saying about Tony's calling it something different. He's calling it private banking. He's calling it PP something, all these different names. I was like, but that sounds really amazing. Like, that sounds like the wealth secret that I've been missing. Guess what I did again?
Yeah.
Just kept reading. Again, 2014, kept reading, bro. And I'm just like, okay, now flash forward to about 3 years ago. So 3 years ago, I had, me and my wife had the privilege of getting an end-of-year bonus in one of our companies, a significant end-of-year bonus. At the same time, it was around COVID. And at the same time, we had just moved into a house, bought a new house. And you know how that is. When you buy a new house, you don't just buy a house. You buy a bunch of other stuff with it, too.
Furniture, absolutely everything.
And no matter how well prepared you think you are, that bank account starts draining.
Yeah.
It starts draining.
100%.
So, anyway, so we're in that season of life. Our bank account starts draining. I'll start seeing it. COVID happens, and I lose one of my biggest production contracts that I have.
Wow.
$10,000 a month. Lose it. Completely gone. Just moved in to our new house. She is 2 months from giving birth to our first little boy. I lost that massive income, completely almost drained our savings, and upgraded our house with the things that we needed.
Okay. So let me paint the picture real quick. I like how you set it up. So you got stuck on analysis paralysis.
Yep.
You start, you know, reading up on infinity banking, yep. Tony Robbins book, keep reading. Yep. You're just like, you're thinking about it as a great idea, but there's no execution.
Yep.
Let me ask you. Yep. During those times where, I mean, before everything happened with the house and, yep. and the COVID and then losing that, you know, big contract, was it because you were comfortable?
You know what? I would have to say, if I'm honest with myself, yes. Like it's lack of strategy, comfort, kind of just, you know, things were flowing.
Things were good. Yeah, life was good, dude. You were like, I don't need it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is for. It's like, it's just like, you don't need it or you don't understand it.
That's what happens to everybody, dude. I'm telling you, it happened to me for 2 decades.
You don't need it or you don't understand it, or you don't take the time to truly educate yourself. Exactly. And that is, if there's one message that people get out of this podcast today is, please do yourself a favor and understand it.
Yeah.
Just understand the concept, because it can radically change your life for legacies, well, as we talk about it.
Clarity is everything.
Clarity is key.
Especially in business.
Yes.
Because if you can't articulate what your offer is, what your service is, what you are trying to sell, what you're trying to provide as value, because people have to perceive the value.
Yep.
They have to see it for themselves. And if you're not able to land it on that target, dude, confused buyers don't buy.
Yes.
That's just flat out what it is.
Well, you said it. So every year we have a word of the, we have a family word of the year that we just meditate on, we pray on, and whatever. Guess what my word was? You said it.
What is it?
Clarity.
Love that.
Clarity is our word of the year. We have it plastered on a whiteboard in our living room. And it says clarity, because this entire year was about getting clarity about how to never put ourselves in that position again. And
I love that.
And the story, you know, not to go super in the faith, but I'm a faith guy.
Dude,
I'm a faith guy. And you know what? We were in that season, and I'm a man that prays. And so I got in my prayer closet and I was praying. I was like, all right, Lord, look, I just had our baby boy. Those 3 months when we had them were the toughest 3 months as a husband, because I knew where our finances were, and my wife was just trusting me that I was going to do the right thing.
So your wife knew nothing?
I mean, she knew what I told her, what she wanted to know. I was always an open book, but I was like, hey, the least questions you ask, the better.
You were like, you don't need to know about this.
You don't need to know everything. The least questions you ask, the better, because I don't want to put that financial stress on her. She doesn't need to carry that. It's my responsibility.
Well, also, I love that, dude.
Yeah.
I love that. That's traditional values right there, dude.
Yeah,
as a man, I got to take care of business.
Yep, I'll figure
wifey,
it out.
Wifey, you know, you just gave birth.
Yep.
I don't want you to stress like that. That's good, bro.
You don't need to be stressing over that.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I'm talking about, man.
We're in that position, and I'm praying. Yeah. I was like, all right, Lord, show me, like, what's next. I've got some businesses that are doing well. Things are running. I've got some cash flow coming in. But we liquidated almost everything, right? And that contract is completely gone. And as I started praying, he opened the door again, but I was ready this time. The door opened wide again, and I was looking once again. Thank God we got that bonus, end of year bonus for one of the companies that we were building. And so I was like, God, there's got to be a better way to put this money to work,
right?
To make this money flow.
Yeah.
And that was my prayer. That was like that was what I was asking. I'm like, there has to be a better way. We just made this chunk of money. There's no point of me paying off this debt. It's gone forever. If I just take this $25K and pay off this credit card debt, or pay off whatever that we bought for the house that maybe you put on credit cards, and that's awesome. The debt will be gone, but so is the money. I was like, there's got to be a better way. And I kept asking. Next thing you know, as I'm searching, boom, infinite banking pops up. And I'm like, man, I've heard this before. But once again, it was in a different context.
So where'd you see it?
It was online, on social media.
I love that. Okay.
Social media. It was the first video, one video that I watched is actually a guy that is within our same organization, some of the same guys that I learned from.
Yes.
Watched a video of his, and I was like, man, this is that same thing that Tony Robbins was talking about in his book, and that article I read that nobody could understand.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about, what if you could get back the money for every single car purchase that you purchased for the rest of your life on top of that?
Right.
And it clicked. I was like, well, wait, if I can do that with a car, why can't I get back the money for the debt that I'm about to just pay off? And so I started digging, researching, diving in. I'm like, wait, so you're telling me that with this infinite banking concept, I can redirect my money into this vehicle first and then borrow the money from myself, pay the $25K of loans that I owed to the bank, and then I now make the terms of how I pay myself back. And when I do, it stays within my own family banking system. Check, 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 check. I was like, and on top of that, married with a new little boy. And on top of that, I was very specific about my prayers and what I was asking God to show me and reveal to me and give me clarity on. We were looking for life insurance too. Mm. Wouldn't you bet that Infinite Banking is a life insurance product?
It's directly tied into it.
It's directly tied in. And I was like, first of all, I would have to be an idiot not to know that God pushed me in that direction. Everything I was praying for, he laid it out for me. Here's what you're looking for. You want to protect your family long term? Here it is. You want to learn how to properly flow money through your life so you can create generational wealth long term and all these other thing benefits? Here it is. Here it is. Check, check, check. And as I started going down through the checklist of what Infinite Banking can be used for, it checked every single box. And I was like, to me, it was a no-brainer. So I dove in for the next 6 months, learning as much as I possibly could. I learned so much about it that I was like, you know what? This is, the world needs to know about this. And I know there's some people out there sharing it, but I can be another voice.
Well, I mean, this is what I always tell Sergio, especially in the online space, right? So the third time that this opportunity was presented to you with Infinity Banking, man, what year was it?
This was 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Yeah. So around 2022, 2023, correct?
Yeah, 2023, yeah.
Okay, so 2023, you see the third opportunity, yep. And this time you're like, there's a reason why God put this in front of me.
Yes.
At this time again.
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 Those doors, right?
Yeah.
Those
doors. Dude, there's always is. Yeah. There always is, right? Like back when I was in the department, I had that good friend, veteran cop, that was always like ATMs. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. And then I never did the research, dude, until I was just like, you know what? I got to find something. And then saw him again. He was like, ATMs, bro. And I was just like, all right.
You said it earlier, and it was such a good way of saying it. You like necessity, lack of clarity. So necessity, lack of clarity. You're probably at a couple more, but that's the bottlenecks.
Well, the bottlenecks is, you know, when people get, you know, let's say a little bit of money.
Yeah.
They get a little bit of money. Like in your scenario, you got a bonus.
Yeah.
People want to invest it, man.
Yes.
They just do not have the clarity of where to invest it. But then also, they're not in the right environment to invest it.
Yeah.
Meaning that they can't ask the right people.
Yes.
Because how are you supposed to ask somebody that is having the same struggles as you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's why the good thing about social media is that it does connect you with the right people.
Yes.
It does connect you with the right information.
Especially if you're searching for it.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So then at the end of the day, dude, okay, so you figure out what Infinity Banking is. Yeah. What is your idea to do as far as a plan of execution at that time? So end of 2022, beginning of 2023, you lose a 10K client. You're like, I need to make some cash flow.
Yep.
Yeah. So what's your next plan?
So my next plan was simple. Is, you know, there's two things. You know, one of the most important things that I teach, and I think people, you're on the same wave, is you gotta learn how to make income.
Yeah.
Like you gotta be able to bring income in.
Absolutely.
Whether it's passively or just or the sources. Ideally, you want it to be passive. So you got to be able to bring income in, but you also need to be able to protect it and keep it. Meaning that's the one thing that most people just don't understand or don't know how to even start with.
Yeah.
Like we make income, but what do I do with it now? Right? And that's what we're talking about. And so that was it. I was in that position was like, okay, well, do I just pay off the debts and then that money OPM, the opportunity cost of that money is gone forever.
Yeah.
I will never see that money again versus just changing one thing, where my money flows first. And now I have the opportunity, that money to keep flowing again because now it's in with my own system. So that was the first light bulb that went off. And then I'm like, from there, I'm like, wait, but if I can do that with that, I know I'm going to get back on my feet again and start crushing it like I was before. It's just a matter of time. COVID hit my industry a little bit harder than most. And so I was like, once I get back on my feet, why wouldn't I just direct every single one of my dollars through a system like this first so I can keep the money within my family for generations and future legacies? And so that was the next plan because a lot of times people don't understand with Infinite Banking is a philosophy.
Mm.
It's a way of thinking. And we all know this way of thinking. We just never been taught the game. We always say the game's not broken. You hear a lot of people say the game is broken. The game is not broken.
Correct.
We just were never taught the rules.
Correct.
That's a big difference. The game works exactly the way it's supposed to work.
Yep.
We're not playing with the same rules that the bankers are. And who controls the world? Bankers do.
Yes.
You know, there's tons of books and resources that we can probably share with the audience and the guests that I think that radically changed my mindset around this. But that was it. It was understanding the rules of the game. Mm. Once I got that light bulb went off, I was like, okay, well, let me understand the rules of the game. And the rules of the game is the golden rule. Pay yourself first.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody. Yeah. But who wants to pay themselves first? Nobody wants to see their money coming out of their paycheck. Mm-hmm. And nobody, even if you automate it, nobody wants to do that. Or vice versa in the original scenario. If I worked really hard and I got a bonus, the last thing I want to do is pay off debts.
Yeah. Right? You're absolutely right, man.
So you get in this rat race. You get in this hole that you dug yourself.
Yep.
And you feel like there's no way out because it's all mental.
Yep.
Like, I love that you talk so much about the mentality and the mindset on this channel, because that's my background in psychology. And it's everything. I would not be anywhere where I am in life without my mindset.
Absolutely. It's the first thing it's the first thing that I help people fix.
100%.
It's the one thing that I needed to fix.
Yes.
As a man, as an adult, as an entrepreneur, as a husband, as a, you know, as a friend, as a leader.
As a leader, yes.
Right.
But what's really cool about your story, sometimes there's people within their journey that they get to do it at the same time.
Yeah.
You got to do it at the same time, which is pretty cool, based from what I saw. Mm-hmm. Some people don't get that privilege of getting to do it at the same time. Sometimes, in my opinion, God's telling you, hey, you need to fix that mindset before I open this door that's going to fix the money stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Or vice versa, right? And so back to kind of that idea of the light bulbs going off, it was the golden rule, pay yourself first. And I was like, well, what? We all know what that means, but why don't we actually practice it and do it?
Right.
Because it's a broken system. What if a system allowed us, like infinite banking, what if it allowed us to pay ourselves first and basically take back the banking function, and then from there redirect all our dollars and still do everything we want to do? For example, a lot of times that when I'm sharing this with like wealthy entrepreneurs, they're like, yeah, but why wouldn't I just take all my money and then just invest it? Why would I put it into that system first? I was like, well, you're missing the main concept. It's the flow of money. Mm. I'm not saying you can't go invest. Infinite banking is not an investment. It's a storehouse. Mm-hmm. It's where you steward your money in the most effective way, because this gets into the nuts and bolts of it, because it continues to compound. That word that we started with, compounding, uninterrupted compounding, is massive. Mm-hmm. And that is what infinite banking allows you to do. When you store your money in there, it compounds without uninterruption for generations. And you can still use the money for other things if you want to invest it. Hopefully it's a good investment, because not only do you have the money growing over here guaranteed, but if you invest in a really good spot, now you've got a spread that's even better, and now your money's working in two places.
I love that.
And so it's just like, the more I learned and the more I started diving into it, it was like, this is too good to be true. And why doesn't everybody know this?
No, absolutely. So I'm huge on social proof, man. So what would you say? Okay. Let's do a mini masterclass.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Now, okay.
Yeah.
Infinity banking. If somebody wanted to go ahead and leverage this, what would you tell the average person? Cause I always say I'm the average person, man. I'm blue collar guy. Came from an immigrant family, you know,
similar stories, dude.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not the smartest guy, but at the end of the day, I was able to make it happen. Why? Yeah. Because of mindset, mindset, and then going ahead and building my network and going ahead and asking questions and getting the right mentors. Right.
Yeah.
So, we have a lot of people here that want to take advantage of everyone's advice, but they just don't know how.
Yeah.
So, break it down. To the very beginner that doesn't know anything about this, but then also tell them exactly how they would be able to make their money work for them.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. So that's a great question. A lot of times when people are learning about the concept, keep in mind, it is a concept, and the concept only works with a properly structured whole life policy designed through a mutual company. Mm-hmm. All that mumbo jumbo that I just said can go over people's head. It's okay. Just know that that's the only way the product works, and it's okay. You just have to work with somebody that knows how to do that. But a lot of times when people hear that, they think, oh, it's only for the wealthy.
Right.
It's not. It's super beneficial for the wealthy because they've already had the capital and they just have never learned to use it in that way.
So before you go on, Sergio, what are some companies that you would recommend to work with?
That's a great question. There's the top five. Mm-hmm. Top five that we work with. You know, we work as a brokerage, so not every single company might be the best fit for you. So we lay out all the scenarios out and we figure out what your game plan is and what your goals are.
Yep.
But top companies, off the top of my head, you've got One America.
Yep.
You've got Mass Mutual. You've got Emeritus. You've got Lafayette Life. There's one more. There's like five that I think that I think are in that top category. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons, and we have tons of education that we can send people towards identifying which one might be the best for them.
Right.
So, but they have to be mutual. That's the one of the most important thing. And then you can get into some nitty gritties that mm-hmm. are a little bit more masterclass technical type stuff, which is important depending on the strategy. But the overall foundation where most people are going to get started, not that important in the beginning stages. In the beginning stages, it's just helping people understand, even if they're not making that much money, redirecting the flow of the money. Because that's sometimes, I'm working with a really close friend right now, because I work with all types of people. Obviously, my ideal client is people like entrepreneurs that have, for some reason, just never heard the concept explained from somebody that they trust, and then helping them redirect and create generational legacy and wealth. But I also work with close friends and family just like me that I'm like, hey, anybody can do this. It's helping them understand even a small amount of money redirected into your own system is way better than just letting your money, spending your money through the banking system the way that we all do.
Yeah.
Because you're just letting it go. It goes back to the opportunity cost again that we talk about. Is every time you spend a dollar, even if it's cash, it's gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're willing to play the slow game, and it doesn't have to be that slow. That's what sometimes people miss too. Redirecting the money into a system like this, you'll come out on top no matter what. And that's what's really cool. So hopefully that answers it quite a bit.
Yeah. No, absolutely, man. So you work with one of these companies, and then essentially you have to go ahead and make sure you get the right policy.
Yep. It's got to be properly designed. Yep.
Okay. It has to be properly designed. And what are some factors that, like, people, I guess, choose in order? That's very common, I guess.
Yeah. So great question. So factors, it depends on the strategy. So I'll use my personal example.
Yeah, man.
Personal example.
Lead by example, brother.
Yeah, right. I'll use my personal. I wanted a policy design that gave me a significant amount of cash value right away so that I could then eliminate outside debt and transfer it within my own system. Right, because that was my first policy, the one that I was going to design. My second policy and my other ones are very different. Now, if we have time, we'll go into this.
So you can have multiple policies.
You can.
That's badass.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's like you literally are building a family banking system.
That's cool.
And the more you learn about it, the more you dive in. It's not all this hype. And you see on social media, a lot of people hype it up and promise you're going to become your own banker and use these big terms.
Right.
But they're not supposed to be hype. They're just factual. Like it just is what it is. Like, what do banks do with our money? Guess what banks do with our money? Guess who has...
They loan it out. Yeah. They loan it out and they charge people interest.
Right. But guess who has the most policies that I'm describing, like this infinite banking, properly structured whole life policy with a mutual company? Guess who has the most policies?
Chase? Banks do. Yeah, banks. I was going to say Chase.
Banks take all our money and they go do that exact thing that the average person can do.
Right.
But we just don't know we can do it. But we can.
So
it's this world that's like, what?
So Sergio, like the policies that you have three or more?
I have four.
You have four. Okay. So the policies that you have, you said the one that you basically wanted to use, so you're able to leverage your cash the fastest. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that one.
Okay.
Because I think most people that are listening to this, they're like, okay, but I'm not trying to wait to, you know, invest my money into a policy and then I have to wait like years to go ahead and take it out.
I got some really cool examples.
Yeah. So like, break down some examples of what would be effective. Let's say if somebody has some money to play, dude. Like, let's say they have 50 Gs.
Okay, perfect.
They got 50 Gs, which majority of my listeners, just based on like who my audience is, majority of people got 50 Gs. I mean, this is what it is, guys. Yeah. So they're like, what? Your clients all got 50 Gs? I was like, my clients got 50 Gs.
So how do I put it to work? Right. Yeah. So like I said, you have the strategy. We talked about that a little bit. Like people understand the debt stuff. It's like, hey, if you want to open up a policy to tackle bad debt versus good debt, you can do that, right?
Yep.
Same thing. The strategy and the philosophy is the same. The only thing that changes is the numbers, right? And so if you've got more money to play with, you just design a little bit differently for what your outcome is going to be. I'll give you a perfect example that I think everybody will relate. Let's look at my brother. Both my brother, we kind of do business together, but he does ATMs with you guys already.
Yep.
Right? We got a couple ATMs. He does remote closing stuff. You know, he's learned with you guys on that. He just launched into the credit card processing stuff.
Yep.
Well, guess how we did all that?
You leveraged the policy.
Exactly. Dude. We borrowed it all from our own banking system.
I love that.
And so my brother came to me, Serge, what do we, hey, we got the credit card machine next. This is going to be huge. We can, you know, we can be one of the first to market in our Greenville area with this. You want to help me with this? I'm like, yeah, I'd love to help you in whatever way capacity I can. He's like, okay, well, let's do this. I need about 10K for that. How do we want to do it? I was like, well, we want to do it from our own banking system.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll lend you the money, and either you have it now or you don't, but we'll pay it back to our system, our own system, and we'll keep flowing the money through there. So that's a simple example of like 10K. But if you were talking 50K, I'll give you another example that I think a lot of people will relate to that's very simple, cars.
Yeah.
Okay, me and my wife are in a season where we're looking to upgrade our family vehicle.
Yes.
Right? So I'm debating between a truck, a Tacoma, right? I'm debating between a truck.
I love my taco, yeah, man. The Tacomas. Dude, the Tacoma, I'm not going to lie. I'm not here, you know, sponsored by Toyota, but Toyota, if you're listening, what's up?
We might as well be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, when I bought my Tacoma, cool, man, I never thought I would buy a Tacoma, yeah, but when I saw that TRD Pro, I was like, my God, that's a beautiful truck.
It's one of the best looking trucks out there. I've, yeah, always had my eye on it. I'm just deciding if I would actually use the truck,
yeah,
as much as I would use more of a SUV.
Yeah.
And so, long story short, we're debating between a truck and an SUV. Let's just say, for easy numbers, let's just say 80K. Yeah. You know, yeah, good SUV, family SUV, we're going to use for 10 years or whatever. It'll be our family vehicle. So how would a normal person go buy that vehicle? They would just
finance it,
right? Mm-hmm. And when you finance it, well, guess what? You're paying interest to the
bank. Mm-hmm.
What if you had liquidity?
Yep.
Maybe you had 100K in the bank already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then guess what? If you have that, that is a massive opportunity to max fund a policy and start the foundation of your own family banking system, which we are in the process of doing, which is cool because I'll have a showcase, like I'll have a real life scenario showing people exactly how it works.
Yeah.
And so what we are doing, what we've already done, we've opened up our policy, we've max funded it in the proper design where it gives us enough liquidity that if I want to, when we find the proper vehicle, we go to the bank, hey, write us a check for 80K. We take that check to the dealership. We buy the car technically cash, but it's a check. And then now guess what? We go back to our policy ourselves as family bankers and we say, okay, well, what were they gonna charge us for that loan? They were gonna charge us this. We should probably do about the same.
Yeah.
You know, let's do the same. And if we can pay more, we'll pay more. If we can pay less, if we have to pay less some months, we'll pay less. But we're in complete control. Now we go back, we design it, and you don't even have to do this. This can all just be in your mind.
Right.
We go back and let's say the payment is $1,200. We now pay ourselves $1,200. And here's what happens after the cycle of the payments. When we get done paying for that car, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have that beautiful car,
yep,
in our driveway. We're going to have used it for a couple of years, leveraged it, and we're going to have the full amount back into our banking policy in the cash value bucket to reuse again and deploy it again.
I love that.
Not including if we did the same payment that we would have done to a bank anyways, and we actually made money buying our own car because there's interest.
Right.
So we actually made money buying our car, which is crazy.
I mean,
when you really look at it on paper, everybody's numbers are going to be different. But in essence, it's just the flow of money now is within your control.
Yeah.
And that's just one example. That's just for a car.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you might do that every 5 years. Mm-hmm. You can do that for anything. Like they don't, when you build your policy right, you literally can just send a message to the insurance company and say, hey, I want this amount of money. And they're going to ask two questions. You want a check or direct deposit?
Yeah.
They don't check your credit. They don't do any of that. They just send it right into the account. You use it for whatever you want. And here is the cherry on top that I don't really focus on that much, but it is very important for people to know. Guess what happens? If for whatever reason, God forbid, something happens to me within the first year of us having that loan out collateralized against our car. We have for an easy example, we have a $1.5, $2 million death benefit attached to our policy. If for whatever reason something happens to me, that loan is covered by our death benefit.
Oh, wow.
And my wife gets the remaining balance of that $2 million or $1.5 million minus the loan that I owe.
Wow.
It sounds too good to be true.
Well, that's knocking two birds with one stone.
Yes.
You know.
And that's just two of the birds. We can kill a couple birds up in here. with it too. You got taxes, and there's so many benefits that we can talk about. Probably too much in one session.
But. So let's talk about, you know, the primary concerns that a lot of people have. Well, number one, you know, if I was to hear this, I love it.
Yep.
But first off, I love it. I've heard about it before.
Right.
But let's talk about taxes, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big reason why I had moved to Puerto Rico from Miami, and then I moved from California to Miami. Okay, taxes.
Yeah.
Now, let's see this. How does taxes work where you go ahead and you use a policy to pay yourself? Is that possible?
Yes. So in simple terms, here's what it comes down to. It's the flow of money. Once the money goes into the policy, basically the government almost can't recognize it. For lack of better terms, there's obviously some nuances there, but any money that you loan to yourself is not considered like capital that can be taxed.
Yeah.
So anything that comes out as a loan isn't recognized as cash, like that the government can tax. So meaning that you can use that money for whatever you want to use it for, if it's to pay an employee, to whatever. I mean, anything you can think of. And so not only that, but also long-term generationally, when you pass away, which everybody's guaranteed to do that, we don't talk about it much, but it is what it is. Everybody's guaranteed to do that. It's eventually pass away. And obviously nobody wants to do it sooner than they have to, but when it happens, hopefully your family's protected.
Right.
The entire death benefit minus any loans, like we talked about, gets passed on tax-free to your heirs. So that's two of the components. There's a lot of other components that are kind of baked in that you can also leverage on top of the stuff that you already know with that you're obviously taking advantage by living in Puerto Rico. You can combine both strategies, or better yet, if somebody doesn't have the capability, let's say they have a relative that they can't move to a place like Puerto Rico and they have to stay here, you can accomplish very similar things just by flowing your money through a policy as you can by also living in a state like in a place like Puerto Rico.
Yeah, no, I mean that makes perfect sense, man. So let me ask you this. With the policy, I mean, can anyone take out a policy?
Can anybody take out a policy?
Anyone.
Are
there requirements?
So you have to qualify, meaning like you have to be in good health, those type of things. So it's just like any type of insurance type of thing. You have to do an exam and you have to go through underwriting.
Right.
It's kind of the words I was searching for. So everybody has to go through some type of underwriting. Depending on the classification, their policy might be a little bit different, but it's just like any other insurance. So yes, anybody can qualify. Now, if you have a crazy pre-existing condition, that's different, right? That there might be other ways or other avenues to go and explore there. But in most cases, yes, anybody can qualify.
And what if somebody doesn't have good credit? Are they able to get a policy?
Yes. So they don't necessarily check your credit to get a policy, because your policy is more so based on your income, your health, your age, and your ability to pay the premium, so that you then have a death benefit.
That
right. And then what's unique is the design.
Right.
Depending on how you design it is what allows you to then have immediate cash flow. This is really important. The way that we design it, we say 30 days. So a lot of times is my money really liquid? Yeah, it is liquid. Mm. Within a matter of 15 days, I literally just got on my online account and I requested $25K. They deposited into my bank account, because keep in mind, this is what people don't understand. You're not competing with the banks. You're just doing the same thing that they're doing anyways. You just do it first.
Mm-hmm.
So since my money went into my policy first, after I got the money, guess where it got deposited? Into my regular bank account.
Yeah.
And then from there, I deployed it again to pay off the debts, and then started paying myself back, recycling. Now that capital's there again. And guess what? Now we make an investment. Here's the thing. That same money that I use, here's the light bulb. That same money that I used to pay off the debt when we moved into the house and when I started learning about it is the same money that my brother just used to get the credit card machines.
Oh, wow.
It's the same money.
Yeah.
Because I just paid it back and I kept flowing it.
Yeah.
While big picture, people don't get this, and a lot of times people hype this up. I don't like to talk about it much because I like to talk about the philosophy of it. If you don't even get the philosophy, then everything else is like, it's so hard for people to understand. But here's the cool thing. Let's say in the example of the $100K policy that I have for the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the car is 70K, 80K, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When I borrow that money to get the car, Here's what's really cool. The entire 100K is guaranteed to continue to grow at 4-5%, depending on the company that you partner with.
Wow.
So that's what's crazy. Your money is still growing no matter what.
At that level.
Yes.
So even if you pull some of that 100K, it's still going to grow like it has 100K.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, bro. Yeah. It's like, and you're all, how? It's the way the insurance product is designed, and it's the same exact things that banks do because we're on a fractional system. And this is why the banks are able to, when you put in a certain amount of money, they can lend it out 9x.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're playing the same game. They just never taught us.
No, that makes perfect sense, man. So let me ask you this.
Yep.
Okay. This is gonna be a good one, dude.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. What personal pain point or life experience made you realize that there was a gap in how people approach money and self-empowerment?
Man.
I'll repeat it again. It says, what personal pain point or life experience made you realize there was a gap in how people approach money and self-empowerment?
Man, that's a deep question. And one that it's getting my heart pumping.
Yeah, brother.
I think it's not understanding that life hits everybody no matter what.
Yep.
And not being properly prepared. Life's going to hit everybody no matter what. Me and my wife just went through one of the hardest seasons of our life. And thank God I'm a man of faith that prays and that's grounded. And I have spiritual counsel in my life, emotionally grounded, because part of our story over the past 7 months, it's a practical application of what this means to us, mm-hmm. what protecting your legacy really means. And I think to answer your question it, in a simple way, it's that I just don't think people truly understand that life hits everybody. And you hear it all the time, like you need a well to dig your well before you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully we did. Part of our story and I love sharing it now because it's our overcoming journey. Me and my wife for the first time in 7 months, got to sleep in the same bed a week ago.
Yeah.
Since our second little boy, Kai, was born.
Love that.
Because he was born with a heart condition, unexpected heart condition we did not know. And we had the most magical, and I want you guys to take you through this journey. We had the most magical at-home birth. Both of our boys have been at-home birth. My wife is a beast. She is the strongest woman I know.
Nice.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
The most magical at-home birth where, you know, I'll save you guys the details, but I got a chance to catch my little boy, Kai.
Wow.
We had a water birth, and I caught him, and he's a miracle. He's a blessing. He's perfect. But 10 to 20 hours later, we are in an ambulance.
Wow.
Or she's in an ambulance with him on the way to the hospital, and I'm driving behind her.
Yeah.
Because he's losing oxygen at a really rapid pace.
Oh, no.
Not knowing what was going to happen, we just knew that he had a heart condition. So we get to our local emergency room. We walk into a room about the size of this, and there's 35 people in that room.
Wow.
35 doctors, nurses, experts in that room. And, to say I was overwhelmed is an understatement. We walk in there and they start giving us the debrief. And just to kind of shorten up the story a little bit, they basically tell us, hey guys, he's got a pretty serious heart condition. We're not going to be able to operate on him here. He needs to go down to Charleston. And it's tough. And they told us that a helicopter was going to have to come pick him up and fly him down to Charleston, but that we weren't going to be able to be in the helicopter with him.
Oh, man, that's hard.
So, excuse me.
No, you're fine, dude.
And so, so they get our little boy. They put him in this helicopter, and me and my wife have to get in a car by ourselves and drive 3.5 hours. And it's crazy because I still remember it like it was yesterday. I remember looking up and seeing the helicopter lights flying above us and looking at my wife And this is the first time I've ever shared the story.
That's good.
And really, first time I've gotten a chance to, excuse me, man.
It's all good, bro. Let it out.
First time I've gotten a chance to really, like, process it all. And I remember looking at her and holding her hand and realizing that everything that I learned from Tony Robbins, everything that I learned from every single book from 2007 until that moment, that was my chance to prove it to her that I was strong enough to support her and myself.
Yeah.
And so, man, it was the craziest, toughest 3-hour drive that I've ever had. Thankfully, we put on some worship music, and we just decompressed our minds, and we get to Charleston, and I'm sharing all this to get to the point of your question, and it's like 2 months at one of the best hospitals that I've ever been in, as we see our little boy go through a roller coaster of events while we're there, and they do the surgery on his heart. He was born with his two main arteries switched. His were like this.
Wow.
They're supposed to be switched so the oxygen flows and things like that, whatever. Yeah. But thank God they were able to do a very successful surgery, and we were able to be released. Actually, we got released on Thanksgiving Day, so we were super, super thankful that day for sure. We got released, we get home, and then the medical bills start coming in.
Yeah.
And so, once again, to answer your question, I think it's that. I think it's just like people, like, it's your responsibility to get educated financially. Nobody else is going to do it for you.
Yeah.
God's only going to open the door once, twice, maybe three, like he did for me. But I can't promise. I don't know how many times God's going to open a door that could radically change your financial future and help you dig a well before you need it. I am so grateful that we dug ours, that I got financially educated, because when that $1 million hospital bill came in, I didn't even blink. I said, we got this.
Yeah.
We can figure it out.
We're good.
We're good. Thank God we can figure it out. Insurance did not cover it all, because we did not have $1 million coverage of regular insurance for health. So we had to get creative with the other stuff. And thank God we had a vehicle like Infinite Banking to leverage to take control of our cash the way it's designed to be, the way the game's supposed to be played, because now money can't control us.
Dude, that's amazing. That's amazing. And then you're not able to worry about your finances once you get into the system because you're paying yourself back.
Yes.
Which is the most powerful thing that you could do.
Pay yourself first. I mean, that's it. I can't explain it any more simpler than that.
Yeah.
Like literally, I'm in the process of writing a book. That's the name of it. Pay yourself first.
Dude, I was about to say that needs to be your slogan.
Like that.
Pay yourself first.
Like it is. I mean, we all know the golden rule. We hear it everywhere. Pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. Can somebody please just show me how to do it? Hello, we are showing you how to do it right now.
Yeah.
We are showing you how to pay yourself first. Not only pay yourself first, but pay yourself for generations.
Wow.
We haven't even tapped into the generational component of this. We haven't tapped into the trust component of this. We haven't tapped into the legacy component of this and how you can design stuff in such a way that you're almost untouchable and you truly are building something for the future generations. Because I've heard it said like this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's what it's about, man. That's what it's about.
So,
you know, I'm a big believer. You know, I always say this when I was growing up in grade school, middle school, all the way to high school. I remember, you know, I lived in a poverty community, and all my friends, about 90% of the community, you know, was poverty, man. Yeah. I mean, we're poor. So the few kids that did have money, I would look at them and like, how'd they get it?
Mm-hmm.
How'd their family
be
able to afford the beautiful SUVs, the beautiful homes? Like, I don't understand, right? And it was just because the lack of education. But then also now as an adult, age 37, you're 38, you have a ton of life experience.
Yep.
You come to realize, man, that it's because their family's bloodline self-educated themselves, yep. and took those opportunities in yep. their life to build generational yep. wealth. And it yep. starts with one.
Person.
With one.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I always tell people, you're only one step away from poverty if you only have one source of income. So you have to go ahead and yep. be proactive
yep.
and looking for different sources. Yep. And dude, three times, yeah. the third time, you were like, I'm all in.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm
I
ready,
love
Lord.
That.
And you said it. I mean, you got to be so proactive. And I think that's why I'm so excited about just being able to build a relationship with you, because
yeah.
it ties in to, for your viewers and for other people, it ties in what I believe are the three most important things is creating more income.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that income is in a passive way as well, right?
Correct.
Everybody's got a job, that's fine. But maybe you create a side hustle, a source of income that's mm-hmm. more passive, frees up more time. And then how do you control that income?
Correct.
That's the component that everybody misses.
That's it.
Is how does the money flow after that? Because yeah. you can leave the third one out of the equation, but life can happen. And
life
if life happens, you can go back to zero or negative pretty quickly. But if you're preparing and you're flowing the money through your own system, at least you're in control, because this is the component that we don't talk about much, but I'm in control of how I pay those loans back.
Yeah.
Nobody tells me how much, when, or why, as long as I decide to pay them back eventually. As a good, honest banker, my family system will continue to grow for generations.
Correct.
And for whatever reason, I can't pay it back, it is still backed up by the debt benefit.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know what else you could ask for.
It's a great safety net, man. It's a great safety net for you and your family. It's
yep.
a great safety net for
yep.
just your overall well-being,
yep.
especially if something was to happen
yep.
to one of your family members or you, right?
Yeah.
So, dude, I love that. That's such a great story. It's very powerful, dude.
Thank you, man.
Very powerful. Thank you for sharing that, brother. So let's dive into real quick.
Yeah.
What does protect your legacy mean to you personally?
Oof.
And the follow-up question to that, and what legacy are you building?
Okay. I love it. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Protect your legacy, to me personally,
yeah.
is my kids.
Yeah.
And my wife and our future kids.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what protect my legacy means. And it's beautiful because until you have kids, I don't think people truly understand that we are privileged with teaching our values to a next generation.
Yeah.
And steward them in the proper way that they continue to thrive and bring value to the next generation and so on, and the people around them. My little boy, who is about to be 3 in August, his name's Cristiano, the oldest one. His name's Cristiano. After his
that.
Mom, not after the soccer player. I gotta preface that because people always like, oh, you named him after Cristiano.
Well, I was about to say, dude, you were a Division I soccer player.
And he is my favorite player.
I was just like, in my mind, I know Amelia was thinking it. He was bro.
he is my favorite player, Amelia. So
yeah.
I killed two birds with with one stone. I'm really good at that,
yeah.
doing that type of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So my wife's name's Kristen.
Yep.
Cristiano's my favorite player. I was like, okay, if they're boys, I get to name them. If they're girls, you get to name them, right? And so I was like, well, let's do Cristiano. We'll just spell it the way, like your name instead. And so we spell it K-R-Y, because mm-hmm. that's how my wife spells her name. And we call him Tion.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got tons of different nicknames, Tion, T, whatever, but he's awesome. And here's the part of what Protect Your Legacy means to me. He looked at me the other day and he says, Mama, Dada, I can't wait to be, an abuelo and a papi.
Aww.
And I'm just like, dude, you're not even 3. What are you talking
right?
about? Abuelo and a papi. But it's the cutest thing ever, because that to me is what Protect Your Legacy means, is that we are in a space mentally, financially, emotionally, that we can pass on the values that are going to make both Tion and Kai amazing men of God
mm-hmm.
that can then find amazing women of God that can change future families for generations.
Yeah, the ripple effect.
You know, so there's so much more that goes into it, you know, but in essence, that's it's as simple as that, is that it's so much more than just a slogan. It's not, it's so much more than just a brand. It's so much more than just what it means to me, because the reason that I came up with this name specifically was because when you see it, when you read it, I don't want you to ask me what it means to me. I want to, you ask yourself what it means to you. What does it mean to you? Like, what does Protect Your Legacy mean to you?
Yeah, like,
I'm curious.
No. Yeah, I was about to say, it's very similar. And it's very similar to whenever I speak at events or webinars, I always ask people, what's their why?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's just like, what are you planning to do to protect your why? That's the way I see it, man, because my why is my legacy.
Yeah.
You know, I always say this, and, you know, everybody knows this, is that, you know, I am the bloodline breaker for my family.
Yeah.
I was the first one to break generational wealth to an immigrant family. Yeah. You know, my mom coming from Peru, man, working hard. You know, and my dad, Mexicano, working hard, dude.
Yeah,
And that's all they knew, working hard. But the thing is, they didn't know how to leverage.
Yep.
They didn't know the systems.
Yeah.
Right? Just imagine if they were to start Infinity Banking back in the day.
Dude,
it's just a game changer.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this is like, we're here now.
Yep.
And it's all good because, hey, I'll steer the ship now, mom and dad. Don't worry about it. I got us, right? And that's what it's about, dude.
Yep.
So protect your legacy to me, man, is more about, you know, building generational wealth. Yep. What type of legacy you want to leave for your family? So when you have grandkids and your kids have kids, right? They're gonna be like, well, Grandpa Sergio, you know, he was the first one.
Yep,
he was the first one, and that's why we got this. Yeah, and we got this and that, and you know, and that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And dude, I'm actually embracing getting older, bro. Like I'm actually looking forward to it now that I'm like married, and I'm looking forward to having a son and all that, dude.
You guys are gonna have such a special dynamic as you step into familyhood and fatherhood, dude, because you've done something that most people never do before kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like you've taken away one of the biggest stressors in your life.
The biggest hurdles.
You've conquered it before the kids even, like, I'm so jacked for your future kids, dude. Because the values that I know you're going to input into them.
Oh, dude.
Let's go.
Yeah, man.
That's what it's about.
I tell my wife, I always use the term live life by design.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, you know, we were talking about the American dream before. And I always, when I talk about my story, dude, and you know, how I was able to build everything and the experience I've gone through, I always talk about the old American dream and the new American dream. Right? And to me, the new American dream is essentially not only protecting your legacy.
Yep.
But also going ahead and using what you know to educate your kids.
Yeah.
You know, because let's be honest, e-learning now, the online space, dude, it's dominating, bro. And it's growing. It's growing. Yeah. It's growing. It's growing. And I can see it in the future, dude. Everything's going to be remote.
Yep.
Everything's going to be remote. They might even, you know, with AI going on in the next 5 years, they might replace teachers.
Yeah, dude.
They might replace teachers. That's just the way it's going, dude. And not to say that they are, guys. I'm just being real.
Yeah,
I'm just being real because I care.
There's a lot of stuff that's going to get automated, and I said, I tell people that the future belongs to the individuals that learn how to leverage AI.
Yep. And you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared. You know, you got to learn these type of systems. You got to know how to save your money, not just make the money and spend it, but actually invest it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I made the move to Puerto Rico, man, because of taxes. Hey, yes, I save on taxes, but at the end of the day, I am going ahead and I'm building businesses in Puerto Rico to support the community.
Yeah.
So I'm not just taking advantage. No, I'm embracing it. So with that being said, dude, it's great. And I told my wife, Hey babe, you know what? Because we had a conversation after we got married. We're coming up on our first year anniversary. And she goes,
congrats.
Thanks, man. And she goes, and says, babe, like, you know, we're in Miami and now we're in Puerto Rico. What's next? And I was just like, well, possibly, man.
Hey.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. You know, we have quite a few friends that actually they moved over there.
Okay.
So they go ahead and my wife says, what is going to be our forever home?
Okay.
And I was just like,
that question.
Where do you want our forever home to be, babe? She's like, well, she's originally from Sacramento, California.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, you know, we could go to Granite Bay, which is like the suburbs of Sacramento. Okay. And I was just like, yeah, we could do that. But to be honest, like, let me ask you something. wouldn't you enjoy traveling the world and having our kids be able to enjoy the experience of being bilingual?
Yes.
Being able to be cultured. Yep. So by the time that they are actually teenagers, they're already set.
Yep.
They're set. They speak five languages. Yeah. You know, they know different cuisines. They've traveled the world. They've been able to speak about it, right? Something that I wasn't able to do until my late 20s, right? So that's where my mind is at, man.
I love like it. Your forever home is wherever you want it to be.
Exactly.
Whatever next lesson we want to teach our kids is going to be where our forever home is.
That's just what it is, man. And it's about the experiences, right?
Yeah.
It's about the experiences we take with us.
Because it's about the why. Like, I love the way you described this. It was just like, literally, I might even make another design. You inspired me. Otherwise, just why?
Yeah.
Just the question of why.
Well, protect your why.
Yeah. This is it. Protect your why. That's fire, too.
Protect your why. That's fire.
I love it. So, when you think about it, it's just why. Like, it's it. And like, because you think about it, simplicity is all about, like, hey, how can you make things even more simpler? Mm-hmm. So, it's like, when you as I was listening to you, I'm like, okay, what is protect your legacy? What's your why? Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 100%. And once people figure that out, if you ask that question to anyone, dude, and they're able to answer it right away, you already know they're a top performer.
Yeah.
They're a top performer. They're proactive. They know exactly what they want in life. Yeah. And they're a decision maker.
Yeah.
Success loves speed, man. You have to act with speed. You know, one thing that I really love about your story is that you had three opportunities to get into the Infinity Banking.
Yeah.
You took the third opportunity. But you recognize that. Most people don't. They don't take that accountability to be like, hey, dude, you know what? I should have taken it a long time ago. Right? Yeah. I should have taken it a long time
ago. And I don't beat
ago.
Myself up over it, but I do look, understanding the concept at the level that I understand it now.
Exactly.
I'm like, whoa, I missed out on compounding for 14 years of compounding. Do you know what that could have done?
Yeah.
Ooh, and so it goes, I mean, it's cool. You're never, I don't live in the past because that's not how I make my decisions. No. But thinking back to it, it's like, oh man, I hope, that's my biggest prayer.
Yeah.
I hope people don't miss their opportunity of learning and getting educated about the concept now.
No, absolutely, brother. So let's educate the audience, okay? So whether guys, you guys are listening on Spotify, Apple, or on YouTube, or any of the other podcasting channels, Sergio is going to go ahead and tell you exactly how you guys can learn about Infinity Banking so you guys can possibly set up a policy. So where can they go ahead and learn about more about Infinity Banking, brother?
Yeah, so one of the best places to obviously go to learn about Infinity Banking, there's a lot of different terms for it, right? But specifically what we've been talking about is directly to me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I am what I call a coach, an Infinite Banking coach.
Yep.
So you can come to Sergio or my Instagram, which is Sergio Loaiza, but the handle is SergePro11. And then my actual business part of it, that's my personal one. The business one of that is protect.your.legacy. So protect.your.legacy. And that's the Instagram handle for that part. But we'll have a website as well that we can link as well that's going to be more of like my story, our journey into it. Because my wife's my business partner in this.
Yes.
This is something we're doing together.
Power
it's not
couple.
Just me. Yeah, it's not just me. She's got her version of all this and what Protect Your Legacy is about. It's not just about the flow of money. It's not just about death benefit. It's about protecting your mind. It's about protecting your health. And that's what she specializes in. So we might even direct people towards our website once we have it completed and everything knocked out. So,
dude, I love that. All aspects of life.
Yeah, it's all aspects. Yeah.
I always tell people, you know, to me, at this stage of the game, success isn't just about being savvy with your finances.
Yep.
It's about your mental health. It's about your mindset. It's about how the way you think, your core values.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's why I think me and you get along so well, dude. It's just like our core values just align so well.
100%. It's funny. So I've been wanting to do 75 hard for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
It's a lot more difficult. I'm not going to hate. Some people might be able to do it. It's a lot more difficult with newborns and kids to commit to a schedule
like
that.
I believe it.
So I know you're on a fitness journey right now.
Yeah, dude.
Me and my wife just started 75 hard.
Good stuff.
Today's day 4 for me. I haven't done my workouts yet. So as soon as I get done
gotta
here,
crank them out.
I'm going to crank them out. But yeah, man, so I'm excited about that. But yeah, it's so much more. Protect Your Legacy is a movement.
Yeah.
It's not just about educating people and their finances. It's 100% a movement about creating the overall best holistic lifestyle that you can create as a single, as a couple, as a family. And we want to provide that platform for people.
And then also protect your legacy. Is also on YouTube, correct?
Yes, it is on YouTube. Yeah, we have our YouTube channel. My wife is my first guest. I'd love to have you on potentially.
I got you.
Bro. You can share your story and your journey. We launched a YouTube just because, once again, we've been in that, like, we're in the digital marketing space already.
Yes.
I have a video production company, and I battled for a long time between the idea of, like, do I even want to create my own personal brand?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of work.
It is.
And it requires a lot of time on your phone, devices, until you can then outsource it.
Huge.
It's huge. And you know more than anybody.
Especially when you're doing it by yourself, dude. Yes. It's time consuming.
And so that's why we're just now pulling the trigger. We decided, I prayed about it, and I was like, we decided, you know what? It is. In order for us to impact the people that we want to impact, we have to create that. I can't just create that for other people, which is what I'm used to doing. I'm like, I need to create it for myself.
Well, so. I think, you know, you have a powerful story, number one. Number two, you got it, dude. Like, I tell people this because a lot of people in the online space come to me for consulting. Mm-hmm. I've been able to do decently well in the past time that I've been in the online space.
Yep.
But I work with dozens and dozens of creators, consultants, influencers, all those guys in the online space. But one thing I would tell you is your story is everything.
Yeah.
Your story is everything. Personal brand is everything.
Yeah.
What they call in marketing, attractive character.
Yeah.
It's you and the wife being the face.
Yeah.
Being the face because people are buying into you. Yeah. People are going ahead and going to listen to you and the wife and your story.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it powerful.
Yeah. And my wife's better looking, so people are definitely.
Gotta get the mixture, bro. Gotta get the mixture.
It's so funny because I showed you guys this profile. You and your wife. I'm like, they're like, dang, they're really attractive. I'm like, yeah, they are. And it's like, I showed one of you guys these pictures. I was like, but yeah, my wife's more attractive than I am, so that's a good thing.
No, that's great, man. That's great. No, I love to hear that. And thank you, bro.
Yeah.
My wife, when she listens to this, because she listens to all the podcasts,
awesome.
She always asks me the guests. So she's going to ask me about the guests. Yeah. I'll be like, dude, you got to listen to this podcast. You're going to love it. And she's going to blush when she listens. Watch. So I'll tell you, dude.
I got to share this story real quick, if you don't mind.
So yeah, go ahead.
I'm walking down the plan aisle.
Yep.
And this lady looks up at me and reads my shirt. I had like a sweater on with my bigger logo.
Yeah.
And she reads it and she mumbles it to herself, protect your legacy. And then she kind of mumbles it to herself. And then as I walk by, she says this out loud so I can hear it. Yes, sir, you do that.
I love that.
I text my wife. I'm like, "Hey, you better get out. Next time. You got to come with me before I get snatched up."
That's it.
One of these ladies is about to get me. So
I love that.
I thought it was hilarious because she was like, "Yes, sir, you do that."
I love that, man.
So, anyways, I thought that was hilarious.
So, Sergio. Every guest that comes in the podcast, okay, this is the Level Up Podcast. We help everybody, entrepreneurs, first responders, people of faith.
Yeah.
To level up their mindset, but also self-help is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. If you guys read my book, From Blue to Digital Gold, that's all I talk about. That's
right,
the majority. That's it. That one right there. Hey, quick promotion.
And I got it signed, guys. Hey,
quick promotion. Boom. Not yet.
I got it signed.
After, guys. But with that being said, okay, some words of motivation, man. I mean, dude, you're a man of faith.
Yeah.
So I know you can preach, bro.
Yeah.
There you go. You got the audience.
Man, dude, words of motivation. Guys, I encourage you to find a quiet place, whether you are people of faith. Find a quiet place that you can ask questions, deep questions, that will get you thinking about your future, about what you truly want to create. And more importantly, I encourage you to find people that have holistically, the quality of life that you want to emulate. I always tell people this, look, nobody's self-made. Everybody that you ever come across has learned something that they're currently doing from a previous generation. So the quality of our life is not simply determined by the quality of questions we ask, but it's determined by the quality of people that we choose to emulate. So it's really important to choose wisely who you want to emulate. I'm going to be very transparent. Brother, I want to emulate you. What I've been seeing and what I see you've created, like, I want to emulate that.
I appreciate that.
And I admire that. So find people that you want to emulate. Do whatever it is you got to do to get around them and add value to them as well so that you can become a version of them but in your own space. And I say that to people all the time, but the biggest thing that I can say is you gotta, in this entrepreneurial journey, in this life journey, you've gotta learn to develop emotional stability.
Oh yeah.
Without emotional stability, it's gonna be a rocky and emotional roller coaster. It's not a fun journey. It's not fun doing it alone. And it's definitely not fun doing it when your mind is not under control. And so I'll leave you guys with this. One of my absolute favorite books, whether you're a person of faith or not, is by Napoleon Hill, Outwitting the Devil.
Oh, yeah.
We are living in a generation where I believe if you can't control your mind, it's going to be controlled for you.
Yes. If you can't control your mind, it's going to be controlled for you. That is so powerful, especially with social media.
That's it, bro.
Good or bad, choose your side, guys.
That's it. If you don't choose control yourself, it will be controlled for you.
We are living,
like I said earlier, we are living in a generation of paralyzation, whether people know it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And guys, if you guys need to go ahead and follow Sergio, you guys want to contact him, you guys need to connect with him, network with him, okay? You want to learn more about the system that can actually pay you back instead of the banks.
Yes.
Pay yourself back.
Right.
You know, make money work for you, cash flow, right? So, guys, if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you got, leave a 5-star review, guys. Add a friend. Tell a family member, okay? At the end of the day, your network is truly your net worth. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening up to the Level Up Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share with a family, friend, and everyone you know who's ready to level up. Leave a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you tune in. It really helps spreading the word. And don't forget to check out officialpaulalex.com for more episodes and resources to kickstart your journey. Let's level up together.